Much, huh?
All right, everyone. This is the Public Safety Subcommittee of the Joint Ways and Means Committee.
No one here.
I know. it is April 7th, 2015, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5515, the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability. Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair and Subcommittee members. You held a public hearing on Senate Bill 5515 on March 9th, and today we have a public a work session scheduled on this bill. This is the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability. As a reminder, this commission investigates and acts on complaints of judicial misconduct or disability. As an agency, it doesn't get much smaller or simpler than this. The agency has one employee. That employee is their executive director, and that employee is a half-time position. There are additional costs, of course, associated with services and supplies, and a special category of costs that I'll talk about in a little bit, which we call extraordinary expenses, that are costs that specifically are incurred whenever there's a case that sort of moves beyond into the investigation and prosecution phase. During the public hearing, the commission came forward and requested a couple of policy option packages for additional funding. LFO is not recommending either of those, actually, but I would like to go through our recommendation. I cheated a bit and gave you all a paper copy. This, of course, is also on OLIS as the LFO recommendation, if you prefer to see it there. But because this is a very simple budget and will probably not take very much of your time, I just wanted to lay out sort of the information that you'll be getting from LFO from this point forward. So we'll have the same structure for more complicated budgets as well. But we will be preparing an item such as this that will be a standalone item that will contain our entire recommendation to you. And it'll start on the front by just showing the basic numbers, and then go into the detail of why those numbers are what they are. Then after that, we will ask you to review potential budget notes, performance measures, and an amendment. So we'll have amendments for you, plus recommendations on those other items. For this specific, if I can just ask you to look at the memo, the way that we're doing this, the way that we're presenting all of these recommendations are from the current service level calculation. We're recommending changes from that amount, either up or down or a combination of both of these. For this particular recommendation, it's going to be very simple. Basically, our recommendation is for a current service level budget with one adjustment, and that adjustment is really just technical in nature because the CSL calculation had an error in it. So we're making a recommendation to correct that. But if you go on to the third page of this document, which is labeled one of three.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Representative Wisnett, yes.
Thank you, Steve. What is the current service level 3% or four, what did you tell us it was? What is it's upping it 3%, 4%, 5%?
There's no simple number for that because there are a number of elements in the current service level. For the current service level costs for state employee personal services, those calculations differ than they do for services and supplies. However, for services and supplies, there is typically a percentage increase that's applied in there. And I believe that for this biennium, it was 3%. So
that's for everything but the follow-up, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
That's for everything but the PERS.
But the personal service costs salary and benefits. So salary and benefits are treated separately.
Yeah. Salary and benefits are separate.
Yes.
The other things were 3%.
Yes.
So is it, do you have a WAG? And is it? That's a wild-ass guess in the military.
Let me go through our recommendation here in a little more detail and see if it responds to your question. I think I may be responding to it, but maybe I'm not.
Thank you.
No, that's good.
So, I'll spit anymore. It's 3% except for salary and benefits.
Yes, and do you want more detail on how the salary benefits are? The salaries are basically, there is no change in the salary from the current end of biennium salary level, unless the employee is not at their top step and are eligible for a merit increase. For this particular employee, there's only one employee, they are at their top step. So basically, the salary is carried forward at the same rate. You will be separately, the co-chairs are separately looking at whether there's funding available for salary increases for state employees. If you approve any of that, it'll be in a separate bill, and that money will be used to pay for salary increases. But in the CSL, there aren't any. In the CSL for benefits, there are, amounts in there for various benefits. The largest benefit cost as a single item is for health insurance. And the term we use in the budget for that is flexible benefits. And that is currently budgeted in the upcoming biennium at a rate of $1,272 per month per employee for employees that are full-time or higher. If you look at the third...
Excuse me, could you run that past me slowly again?
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is for health care benefits?
This is for health insurance, yes.
Health insurance per member, not per family.
Per employee.
Per employee is budgeted at what?
$1,272 per month.
Not per family, per employee.
Per employee. Now, the actual cost to the employer, the state agency, depends on which plan the employee chooses, because typically they have some choice, and family status, for example, whether they have dependents, whether they're single or not. But for budgeting purposes, that's averaged out to $1,272.
This is flowing through PEB.
This is, well, the PEB determines or offers the health plans. This is put into the agency's budgets, and then from the appropriations and money that you provide to agencies, one of their costs is covering the health insurance costs, premiums for their employees.
We know that PEB premiums are down 1%. We control those costs by pushing them down. I do not understand, and I'll have to do some extra work on this, why in the world per employee premiums are $1,200 a month.
Almost 13.
Mm-hmm. This is a statewide, this is a development statewide, to the extent that if you should at some point determine that a different funding level is appropriate, what you typically would do would be to make that adjustment in an end of session bill. And, for example, if you reduce that by 5% or increase it by 5%, we would apply that to all agencies in that bill, but not in a particular state agency.
I understand. So I will attack it from the other end. And looking at the PIP, we're going to have a meeting with the PIP people. I want to see what the copays, deductibles, and premiums paid by the individuals are.
Okay.
And we'll put the rest of it into K-12, reduce them to 500, and have some real money.
Madam Co-Chair, I remember we used to get this comical memo from DHS as foster parents that said you could buy into the state insurance program for $1,100 a month.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Reimbursement 49th, I think, out of 50 was about $600 per child, but we can buy into the program for $1,100 per month.
I would just tell you this. A premium of $1,200 a month per employee indicates that there's very little control on cost and probably very little buy-in from individuals as far as responsibility is concerned and controlling those costs. So we'll look at that from the other end, not from this end.
Oh.
Yeah. But thank you for bringing it up. That puts a real face on it for me. Thank you.
Madam Chair, thank you. Senator, under the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, that's classified as Cadillac, and starting next year, we get
taxed
on that. Is that correct?
That is my understanding, though.
Oh, really? They're going to probably tax you.
You read those 2,000 pages.
Just what we
want. Steve, I want to make sure I understand that calculation. Is that essentially a rollover calculation from last year for our purposes, and then in the end?
Like the office, the
whatever the end bill is that contains that calculation, that's where the adjustment is made. So we're just rolling 1 year to the next on benefits and calculating it that way, and not at this table discussing what that will actually look like, right? So for our purposes, it's a rollover number.
It's part of the cost to the agency of employing the individuals.
Right, but we're making that assumption based on last.
Well, this is the standard amount that is included in all state agency budgets. So every budget you see should have that rate. Mm-hmm. And when there are new employees, if you're adding new employees in a policy option package, that's the that's the rate or for health insurance that's added into the cost.
But if as Senator Bates talked about, if there's a bill that changes the assumptions about that cost, it's a formula change for everybody in the system. This budget adjusts when we adjust that number, and we really don't have anything to do with it, right? I mean,
it would be in some kind of omnibus bill.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, if I might, what makes it even worse is that it's often negotiated with unions after we leave the building. And that's another issue.
So we didn't complete the PERS, right? How's that figured into this?
The PERS is also included in there as a percentage rate of the salary.
Okay.
So that's
that rate is.
No, I know that.
I wonder if
23 is it 23? I can do it offline.
I can figure.
Well, or if it would be great. Is there a document that exists that tells us the assumptions?
Yes.
Okay, no, I would love a memo that just says. Yeah. When you're looking at these agencies, we make these assumptions based
Thank
on
you.
These
okay,
numbers,
sure.
and,
th- yes,
and then
That's
we
great.
Can just
roll.
Great.
Because I wasn't right.
Okay, so again, what I'm looking at here is page 3 of this handout, which is labeled, actually it's the first of the ones that looks like a table, and it says page 1 of 3. This is the standard format that you'll see for every agency. On the first page, this is the entire agency. It shows changes from what was approved in the 2013 session. That's the first row. This particular agency only has general funds, so there are a lot of blank columns. Then the next couple of rows show changes that occurred after the 2013 session that lead to the next bolded number, which is the legislatively approved budget, which is essentially where we are, at least as of last December. So these are all of the changes. You saw, see there were some increases that were provided to this agency during the interim. Then that generally will be their base budget. There are some summary base adjustments that relate to personal services costs. Then there are getting back to your question, Representative, about the inflation. You can see the inflation amount there is $2,126. However, that includes both the basic 3% on general services and supplies, plus any changes to the price list for state government service charges. So that's a combined number that has both of those. That will lead you to a current service level number. And this is where we start with the LFO recommendation at the current service level. Then you can see we have a recommended increase of $10,212. If you look at the next page, it's identical to the previous page with just one change. There's the word administration in the top right. Usually you won't see two tables that are identical, but this agency is so small it only has one budget area, administration, so the single area is the same as the total.
So these will be the sub?
These are the
subcategories.
Right.
Okay.
Then you'll see a number of pages in many cases that look like what's called page 3 of 3. Mm-hmm. This is our specific recommendation. So our first and only really real recommendation here is that you approve package 801. Package 801 increases general fund to the agency by $10,202. The reason why we are recommending this is because $212. Thank you. I'm sorry. And the description there will explain to you why, what this is and why we're recommending it. The agency's current service level calculation has an error. it did not fully fund these flexible benefit costs that we were just talking about in a bit of detail there. One-third of these costs were incorrectly omitted from the current service level. So those costs aren't fully funded. We recommend restoring funding for the flexible benefits cost. That's a That's a $10,212 general fund dollar increase, but it's really just correcting an error in the current service level. And that's it. That is our recommendation for funding. I do want to point out that you may recall during public testimony, when you had your public hearing, there was discussion about the workload that the commission's going to be facing this biennium. They're expecting to have a number of prosecutions with associated costs that they didn't have last biennium. They requested some money for that, about $27,000. We do not recommend that you provide that. We do think that it's potentially the costs may even be higher than what they asked for, but we recommend that the agency come back. If they do actually experience these costs, you'll be able to provide funding in 2016 or even afterwards before the 2017 session, and they will not have a cash flow problem. So we do not recommend funding that prospectively. This is the only change that we recommend in the budget for the current
service. I have a question. Mm-hmm. So second line, 2013-15, what was that action?
There were
the $13,511.
There were two actions, actually. One of them, which was taken specifically by the legislature, and one of them, which happened automatically because judicial branch agencies are treated a little differently than executive branch agencies. The actions that you took were there was a salary pot that was provided that was distributed during the 2014 legislative session, and this agency received part of that as funds. So that was part of it. The other thing that occurred was, as a judicial branch agency, these agencies are allowed to retain any unspent general funds from the prior biennium's appropriation. And that adjustment comes into play after the odd year session completes. And the $13,511 also includes basically them being allowed to carry forward some of their funding.
But those dollars are all in the current service level assumptions.
They would be, yes.
So,
yes, because of their timing, they would be.
And if we go back to fund the additional cost of prosecution or litigation or whatever, is that held, that's held separately and not, it, we wouldn't see it here as a part of what then becomes a base budget or how it's.
That would be a decision. Our recommendation.
Where, where does it go and how is it dealt with when we add it?
Our recommendation is to provide a separate appropriation for these additional costs. If you flip to the back, flip ahead, this is the amendment, and you can see that the amount that we're recommending is $17,508,
right,
which is the amount in the current service level. So even the current service level has some funding for these prosecution
right
costs. We think it's likely to be higher. If you come back, if you hear back in 2016 that, yes, we need more money, then we would presumably recommend and you would approve additional funds. In that particular case, we would add it to extraordinary expenses.
It would stay in that line item.
It would stay in that line item. And then when you're talking about the next biennium's budget, at that point, we'd have some information as to whether these are just one time
right
or ongoing, and we can make recommendations as to whether to include them in the current service level or not for 2017-19.
All right.
They don't necessarily have to be included if you decide not to do that.
Now, this is a very good refresher on a simple budget to remember where things go, and, it gets much more confusing after this budget. I just want to comment on the recommendation that I think you never know in litigation who will settle and when and how that will all play out. So I think having the agency come back and talk to us about how things are going is probably the prudent thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Since we're learning, this is
Ways and Means 101.
Ways and Means 101. Mr. Binder, the code 030 was for the inflation price list adjustment. We'll probably see that on other budgets. How about the 010 code? What is that, and will we see that?
Generally, you will see that.
What does that say? What does that tell me?
That deals with certain personal service costs that are not directly calculated. The acronym there, you see, non-PICS, P-I-C-S. That's the Position Information and Control System, which generally is a system that calculates most of these costs for salaries and benefits. That would include the flexible benefits and other things that we're talking about here, PERS, Social Security. Those types of things are calculated in PICS. There are a few items that are not calculated in PICS and that are entered manually separately. Things such as, I believe, like mass transit taxes and things, when those change, those would be shown in this 010 item.
During our Ways and Means Committee meeting Friday, the full Ways and Means, remember there was the $6.3 million error in PERS in the payment, and the PERS board decided not try to recover it. So is that part of, we're doing manual and computer? Because my question, I think, to LFO was, what caused this, or also to the director of PERS board, remember, why did we fix this? Because they said it had happened again. It had occurred before. So are they doing it manually, or are they doing it computer? How did that?
Representative, I believe that's a separate item. I know that in the budget reconciliation bill for the current session that you passed, there were adjustments to agency budgets for refunds that they received, that agencies received for that adjustment. But I would need to get back to you on that, or have someone else in our office get back to you.
Because we'll see that in every budget.
This is unrelated to that particular thing. There's also something called a vacancy factor here. Vacancy factors, this is a one-person agency where the person has been employed full-time for the biennium. But what happens is, for agencies with lots of employees, there's going to be vacancies during the period. It's just a normal function of having a lot of employees where there's turnover. And the vacancy factor is an adjustment when actual vacancies that were experienced was different from what the normal vacancy rates were. So
is this the reference, my vacancy position bill, that after that we are taking out a certain amount of that money that was given to the agencies, their budget, if they're a vacancy? That's what I've been asking. I had a bill that said after 6 months, if it wasn't fully justified, we lose it. And the co-chairs have been looking at that. That's why we have the slides coming up. But you're saying they are taking out a percentage of that from the agencies each time, or not?
No, this is somewhat different than that. This is a technical adjustment to account for situations when the agencies are experiencing vacancy rates that we wouldn't expect to necessarily continue from one biennium to another.
So it's different in the assumption.
Yeah. And for this particular agency, there wouldn't be a vacancy factor because there's only one.
They could. Hope not.
All right.
Very good. Madam Chair, one more question. This is good to see Budget 101 for me. It reminds me of things I've forgotten over the last year. On page 2 of the 3 pages, you have towards the bottom, you have a percent change from the 2013-2015 lab of the legislatively approved budget of 6.4%. See that line there? And I want to make sure I'm looking at this correctly. When the lenses I put all these budgets through, we're looking at them, we know that our revenue is up probably between 10.5%, somewhere in that range for the next biennium. And so when I look at this number, I'm always saying, is that above or below that 10%, and why? And this one here, nothing personal, I don't really care. I just want to make sure that I'm looking at the right spot for that particular lens. Will I be able to see that in other budgets coming through?
That will be in every budget will have a table exactly like this, and we'll have that number.
So I go to that line, I can find what the overall budget change is from the last biennium, and what the budget expectations for the next biennium are. I can compare that, what we expect our revenue to be.
Yes, but there's always a complication.
You've got yellow
there's
folks.
Always a complication.
A but. There's always a but.
This is a comparison compared to what the agency had appropriated or in its budget as of December. To the extent that an agency's budget has been changed this session, it won't be included in here.
So rebalances won't show up because you can't put it in fast enough. And I realized until we close the budget, now we don't know that exact number. These are both budgetary things we're looking at, trying to get as close as we can to some reality.
And certainly we can always, in LFO, if you ask the budget analyst, they can give you the up-to-the-date difference if there have been changes. This particular agency hasn't had any adjustments since December.
This is a nice example of what to look for. But the bigger agencies where we're doing big rebalances like an Order of Health Authority or DHS, and the rebalances are in hundreds of millions of dollars, this is going to help us. I want to know where it would look. That's what I mean.
Okay. And what each line is actually telling us.
Yeah, I want to make sure I'm looking at what I think I'm looking at, and that's not looking at the wrong area.
So if I could ask you to go back to the very first page of this memo, even though we skipped ahead and looked at the table, I just explained to you by looking at that work session report what our recommendations are, and we would ask you to either, Madam Co-Chair, accept a motion to move those recommendations, or if you would like to modify those recommendations, to accept a motion for a modified.
We're ready for it now. Madam Chair, I move adoption of the Dash 1 amendments to Senate.
Actually, if I may ask you to do the one on the first. There's several motions, actually.
Right, let me change that.
You have to do the KPMs.
We're just accepting the LFO recommendations?
Yes.
Right.
Okay, Madam Chair, I move the LFO recommendations.
Senator Shields moves the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5515. Any discussion? Any objections? So moved.
I won't object, but I'll say we're going to get that PEB thing pretty close.
Yeah.
Do I need to move the Dash 1 still?
With your permission, Senator, I would like to talk about performance measures. The next thing, for every agency, or I believe every agency, there may be some exceptions, you will be asked to review the agency's performance measures. And LFO will be presenting a recommendation on that as well. That, in this particular case, I'm sorry, these page numbers aren't numbered entirely sequentially, but it's the legislatively proposed 2015-17 key performance measures, page 1 of 2 and 2 of 2. And we have the agency's performance measures here as well as targets. I would like to, if you look at page 2 of 2, our recommendation is that you approve the key performance measures and KPM targets shown above. A little bit more information, though, of what these are. The KPMs are unchanged from the 2013-15 biennium. The agency did not propose targets for most of them. The targets that we're recommending that you approve are equal to the same targets that were established for 2011-13. I do want to point out, though, that when it comes to KPMs, there are really very minimal data for this particular agency. The agency did not, well, first of all, if you look at what most of these KPMs are, like if you look at number one, it's the percent of commission recommendations forwarded to the Supreme Court that are upheld by the Supreme Court. The target is that that be the case all the time so that the Supreme Court isn't overturning what the commission is recommending. But the last data point for that goes back to 2008. So most of these KPMs, there's no data since 2008. But we don't recommend that you drop these, especially if some of these cases are moving forward now. There may be data again. So that is our recommendation for key performance measures. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Madam Chair. KPM number 2, the target's going to be 100%. Makes me wonder if they're going to err on the side of not going after any judge they have questions about because they want to keep them at 100%, if I'm reading this right. These people got to be, they don't want to investigate somebody unless they're 100% certain they're going to be convicted.
the way I read this.
Or that the process is thorough enough that if there's an issue with the investigation or the like, that they are able to identify it and handle it appropriately, is the way I would read that. That they don't create error where someone would be exonerated after the fact.
Can be exonerated because it was, I mean, if you're only taking on judges that you absolutely know are guilty of some horrendous thing, I can see that. But wouldn't be some gray areas where maybe you should investigate somebody? But
absolutely. I think it's the question of whether or not somebody is essentially charged and prosecuted after the investigation. I'm not arguing either way.
I'm just curious.
The way I think I read, you know, I read it and what they're getting at. I would hope it's not being used.
I'll stay out of this one.
I would hope it's not being used as a reason not to investigate judges.
100% sure.
We can bring the agency in and ask.
It's okay. Probably not worth our time. Let the Orgoyle take care of that for us.
Okay, we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, I move the LFO recommendations on key performance measures.
Senator Shield moves the LFO recommendation on key performance measures. Any discussion? Any objection? So moved.
Ed, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And finally, we recommend a budget of $219,814 general fund and one position, 0.50 FTE, and then Senate Bill 5515 be amended by the -1 amendments, which are included in your packet here. Those two numbers summed up together to the total $219,814 mentioned above. So we would recommend the -1 amendments to you.
Madam Co-Chair, I move adoption of the -1 amendments to Senate Bill 5515.
Senator Shields moved the adoption of the -1 amendments to Senate Bill 5515. Is there any discussion? Any objections? So moved.
And then, Madam Co-Chair, we would ask for a final motion to move the bill as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 5515 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Shields moves Senate Bill 5515 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Are there any questions, discussion, objection? So moved.
Carriers.
I can carry it. Senator Bates can carry it and explain KPMs. No, I'm just
I'd like the same KPM applied to physicians, if I could, please. In liability cases.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't want to carry anything in the Senate. That's what I know. Either of you like to carry
it? I'd be happy to carry it in the Senate.
Well, I want to carry this one because this is the easy one. You can have the tough ones.
would you like to carry it on the floor? If you do, I'll ask lots of questions.
This is going to floor now.
All right. So I will close our work session on Senate Bill 5515. Is there anything else for the committee? I just want to thank you for walking us through this budget as a little refresher of where we look for things and where we can find things.
My pleasure.
And we'll get that list.
And we will get our cheat sheet.
Okay.
That would be fantastic. All right. We are adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Bender.
Steve.
We're
Steve.
We're
adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Bender.